Just to explain a bit, perhaps this is unfamiliar to you, hearing these stories and seeing the war here. I wanted to kind of give you some idea about what is going on. I don't know, does anybody know the famous words that are often repeated that were first said on the 13th of April, 1970? Anyone think of some famous words that were said on the 13th of April, 1970, before many of you were born, I guess, but... Okay, let me give you another clue. They were spoken at 9:07 in the evening by astronaut Jim Lovell while on the Apollo 13 mission to the moon. We've got it over here. The answer is this. Houston, we have a problem. What had actually happened, there'd been an explosion on the lunar craft. It had knocked out an oxygen tank and two electric power generating units to completely deplete the power within this craft. And what was supposed to be a lunar landing became simply a mission to get these guys, these three guys, get back home. Of course, from this, there was spawned a fantastic film, Apollo 13, with Tom Hanks et al. And if you haven't seen it, it's a fantastic film. But those immortal words, Houston, we have a problem. Many years later, an American minister talked about another problem. This problem the American minister talked about was not a problem that just affected three astronauts, but he claims is a problem that affects every single human being. It affects you and it affects me. He said these words, "You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense." The problem that every human being has is the problem of trying to make sense of life. Unsurprisingly, the Bible gives us an answer to that question, an answer to how we might actually make sense of life. The Bible says, yes, there is a problem that concerns every human being. The book of Isaiah in the Old Testament gives us this problem. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our way." So the Bible says that this is the problem that affects every single one of us, that all of us, a bit like sheep who can wander off, have all, in a sense, wandered off in our life from the purpose that we should have had. We wander off when we say, "I don't want God." When we say, "I can live life my way, a better way." We wander off when we kind of go and pursue this route or that through, never quite sure what meaning and purpose it will bring us. But we get attracted by these different things and we wander off like lost sheep in life, pursuing this, that, and the other one. The reason we wander off is because we've turned to our own way. All of us instinctively kind of want to live life the way we want to live life. No one is going to tell me how to live life. No God is going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. We don't want God. We think we know better than God. We want to determine our own lives and futures. That's what the Bible calls sin. You may have heard this word, sin. Sin literally means rebelling against God. Thank you very much, but no thank you. I'm going to live my life my own way. I've turned to my own way. That verse, though, goes on to say this in the second part. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity," that's a big word for sin, "the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What on earth does that mean? What on earth does that mean? It means this. that you, if Rick Warren is right, were made by God and for God. That's why you were made. You were made by God and for God. So here you go. This is you. You're made by God and for God. God, let's say he's up in heaven, you know, wherever, but we'll say God's up there. You were made by God and for God, so you can have a relationship with God. That's your purpose, your meaning in life, made by God and for God. But the problem is that each of us have turned to our own way, done our own thing, done our sin, our rebellion thing against God. And that stuff kind of acts like a huge weight on our lives. Not just a huge weight, but of course that's now blocked the pathway between you and God. You're distant, there's something in the way, you're lost. And the weight of my rebellion against God, your rebellion against God, sits as the blockage between us and God. It's the reality of where we're up to. What does the verse say? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My other hand, this is Jesus. This is God's Son, the one that you've heard about, we read about in the Bible. This is Jesus. And so that verse says the Lord has laid on Jesus the sin of us all. What Jesus does literally is to take that sin, our sin, on him. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now look, where does that leave us? It leaves us free. It leaves us forgiven. That weight, that distance, that blockage between us and God has been removed, and we are now free to have a relationship with God. And Jesus takes all our sin. There's a great other verse in the Bible that says, Jesus, he who knew no sin, Jesus was the only person ever to live a perfect life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And that thing that you know about Jesus dying on the cross and then raising back to life again, that's Jesus dealing with our sin and being raised back to life again. The blockage between us and God is removed. The invitation now is to be forgiven and to live our lives following Jesus Christ. That's the good news of why Jesus has come. That's why these guys are getting baptized. They're going to start that new life, that new relationship with God. And just one thing that came to my mind as I was sitting here singing these songs about Father particularly. Some of us here have always wondered about the fact that to be really loved by somebody else, to be really loved by God, I've got to do something. If I do that thing, if I live that good life, if I am that good person, if I do those things, perhaps God will love me. I've got to tell you this morning, that is completely the wrong way round. You are loved by God today, period. You are the apple of his eye. He is the good father who says that he loves you. We sang the words. You are loved by God. And because you are loved by God, from that place comes a life of fruitfulness and meaning of purpose. It's not do good stuff to earn God's love. It's you are loved. Go and do good stuff. So what about the future for these guys and for us? Let me tell you a little bit about the future as a Christian. Many years ago, I went to see a music band I liked. You never hear about them anymore, but some of the older folk like me will have heard of them. They were a band called The Proclaimers, a couple of Scottish brothers. I was quite into The Proclaimers back in the day. And I've been to a couple of concerts to see them in a pub in London and a uni on the edge of London. And I decided to take my sister and her mate Emma with me to go and see The Proclaimers. And we got in a car and we drove 100 miles. I know The Proclaimers walked 500 miles, but we drove 100 miles to Essex University to go and see The Proclaimers. And we arrived at the university And all around the university, we saw these. These are not the actual ones, but here's a version. Posters saying, "The Proclaimers are playing here tonight." Dun, 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 dun. But there was a massive problem. And the problem was, all the posters actually looked like this. We didn't have any tickets. We'd driven 100 miles to go there, and we couldn't get in. So I'm nothing if not a bit of a blagger. So I'm trying to rack my brains as to how we might get into this gig. And we drove around the university, and I found this big bus, which I guessed may well be the tour bus for the Proclaimers. So I jump out of the car, run up to the door of the bus, knock on the door, bit of a pause, and then and the door opens, and this guy comes down, who I later discovered his name is Kenny MacDonald. Kenny MacDonald is the manager of the Proclaimers. So I did my best to plead my case. I didn't quite do the corny line, "They may have walked 500 miles, but we've driven 100 miles. I didn't quite say that, but I kind of absolutely poured it on thick about the fact that we'd driven here, my sister was here, my mate's here, I'm the big brother, trying to make gets into this big gig. Can you help us? And he said, in his broad Glaswegian accent, "Just follow me." So we followed him through the corridors of the university and got to the student union, which is where the gigs are all held. And Kenny MacDonald obviously is well known as the Proclaimers manager, apparently, and he's got his lanyard on, which is access all areas. And he walked past the two burly Shosec security guys straight into the students' union. Then I followed with my sister and Emma. But as I went past the Shosec security guard, there was this burly hand laid across my chest. And this huge bloke looked down at me and said, "Where do you think you're going?" And before I had time to answer, Kenny MacDonald turned round and said to the security guard, "Don't worry, they're with me. Don't worry, they're with me." I have to say, I was slightly tempted at that point to kind of do the... I may have done that, may not, anyway. Tempted to do that. And we got access into the gig, which was great. And I bumped into Kenny MacDonald at other gigs, and we've told this story, and et cetera, et cetera. When I arrived at the gig, I had no means to get into the thing I wanted to go to. But I found a person, perhaps the only person, who could have enabled us to have access. I paid no money. It cost me nothing to get into the gig. And my access into the gig was utterly dependent on this man and his status. This is what Jesus does for us. You and I, we have no fundamental right to know God or be a Christian. No fundamental right to kind of know God, because we carry this weight of sin and distance in our lives. But the good news of Jesus Christ is that there is a man who has the capacity, which will cost you absolutely nothing, to have a restored relationship with God. This is the Christian story. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to pray now before these next three interviews. And maybe these words are words that you want to say to God in your heart as well. So let us pray together. Father God, we've heard today of a problem that affects every single human being. And Lord, deep down in our own hearts and minds, we recognize that that is our problem as well. Humanly speaking, we are inclined to do our own thing, go our own way. We don't want anybody telling us what life is about or what we should do. And yet, Father, the reality is, as much as we've pursued this, we continue to feel lost, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and the purpose of meaning and of life seems beyond us. Lord, we thank you for this reminder that we are made by you and for you. And Lord, to make sense of life, we need to respond to your invitation to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have access to the life which has purpose and meaning and joy and delight and all these good things at its heart. So, Lord, I pray to you now with as much faith and honesty as I can say it. I pray that you would forgive me and remove the weight of debt and sin and distance from my life. And I trust you for the life ahead. I trust Jesus Christ, who has taken away my sin, and my commitment and resolve now is to follow you all my days. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.